So this is something you can all keep. It's something I put together, just selected some of the most common paritta chants that we do, and they do have really interesting origin stories to them, which if people are familiar with, there's a number of very interesting origin stories in Bhikkhu Bodhi's new translation of Sutta Nipata with commentary. So in this book, about this much is Sutta Nipata, and this much is the commentary. So you have lots and lots of very interesting stories, and also this commentary is a couple different commentaries that Bhikkhu Bodhi's put together, but one chunk of it's called the Nidesa, which is a very, very well-known commentary in Thailand. So a lot of the stories that Krupa Ajahns tell come from the Nidesa, and you'll find things like, you know, I believe it's in the commentary to the Mangala Sutta that you'll find in here, which is talks about the Buddha's daily schedule and what time the Buddha receives devas. So a deva goes and asks the Buddha about the highest blessings and what time that is during the day, and then it goes into the rest of his daily schedule. And so this is just like a reference sheet people can keep and do more further study, because if you understand where a lot of these chants come from, then you'll feel a lot more, Hisei always bring up about energy, you'll feel a lot more energy if you understand where they're coming from, a lot more devotion, and it'll be a much more powerful devotional exercise. Also because a lot of these verses invoke a certain energy, since they've been chanted over and over and over again, millions upon millions of times over the past almost 2,600 years, and they're very traditional chants. And I'll just talk briefly about a couple of these, and then I'll read from the Sutta Nipata commentary to the Ratana Sutta to show a little bit of an example of where one of these chants comes from, because it is an actual sutta that we recite as a paritta chant, but then there's a reason that we chant it. For example, the Ratana Sutta would be for bringing good fortune and overcoming calamities, and then when you read the commentary, you know why, because that's how it originated. Or, for example, a very, very specific paritta that we do only in specific circumstances is the Angulimala paritta. As most people know, Angulimala was a mass murderer who then changed his ways and became one of the foremost disciples of the Buddha. And this very, very short paritta chant is specifically done for expectant mothers so they have a good birth. So it's done right before they give birth. And then, because in this sutta, in Majjhima Nikaya 86, the Angulimala Sutta, this verse comes directly from this sutta where Angulimala is on alms round, and then he notices a woman having a lot of trouble with her delivery, and she's unable to give birth, and she's in immense pain. And after the alms round, he goes to the Buddha and tells the Buddha about it, and the Buddha says, go back to the village right now, and go to that woman and tell her, you know, since I was born, I've never intentionally deprived any being of life. By the power of this truth, may you have a good birth. And that's the whole verse. That's the whole paritta chant. And he says, well, of course I can't say that. I was, you know all about me. I can't say that I've never ever intentionally deprived a being of life. And he says, well, since you're not lying, because when you ordain, that's a type of birth. This is reckoned as birth in the Noble One's discipline. So you're not lying to say, since my birth, and so on. So then he goes and does the chant for her, and then she has her pain disappears. She has a good birth. So then over history, that's what this has become. So very interesting. And also another one which is interesting is, which I've listed here, it's two sides, but the bottom of the first side is Vataka Paritang, the quail's protection. And again, I have like page 46, so it is in all of these are in our volume 2 chanting book, if people are interested. The Wataka Parita is the quail's protection, and that's specifically against fires. So like many, many people all over the world were chanting this chant for when the fires were coming here. I was doing this in Bodh Gaya, and people in England were doing this, would have been doing this chant, and so on. So this is, but we don't really have a, we have a very rough translation of it in an old green Parita book that we have, but it's not very good. It comes from an obscure book called the Charyapitaka, which we don't have like in an English version that I know about anyway. But in brief, it's a quail, and the fire's coming from all sides, and he cries out, "I have no mother, I have no father, I can't go any direction." And then the fire is named Jataveda, so he says, "Jataveda, the fire, go back." And then the fire goes back. And then these are some of these are very classic. And also, briefly, I could just talk about like the power of memorizing some of these too, because rather than just reading from the book, when you actually like memorize something, and now that like Ajahn Kurnadamo and Lungpa Pasano have been talking about the cadence of the chanting and so on, and that can help with memorizing when we know what the cadence is going to be. And the power of actually memorizing something is that it is like different in the mind when you chant something from memory than when you read it. It does seem like you reflect on it more, and it's more you're internalizing it, and you can also access it any time. You don't need to carry a book around with you in order to chant it at any time or to recollect it during a meditation. So if people are interested, maybe later we can talk about some techniques of memorizing if anybody is interested in that. There's just a couple ways that we do it. In brief, it's just we just hammer away at it until we get it. But you can do it in forward order, reverse order. Sometimes that works better for people. And so like when we do the Parita chanting, we start with a traditional calling of the devas. Well, first they're like in Thailand, and we don't do this that much here, the lay people actually request Parita chanting, similar to requesting the precepts, but there's actually a Parita chant request. So that's also in the volume one chanting book, I believe, in the same section that that the precepts are in. And then one of the monks, usually the third monk down the line, that's traditional in Thailand, usually the third monk down the line will be the one to call the devas or invite the devas. And in this chanting book, page 32, sometimes you see like obscure references with no explanation. So now you get the explanation. You have invitation to devas, page 32. You have A, Paridwana metang sameta baranta avikita chitta paritang banantu. Then you have B, Samanta Chakawalesu, and so on, but no explanation. What is A? What is B? So normally we never do B. B can just be ignored, those two lines. So A is the one we do. B is one that is that done in the Dhammayut? That's a Dhammayut Nikaya version of the chant. So we do A, we skip the two lines that are next to B, and then we do the rest. So, and this is also like different monks will, some monks will do it more monotone. This is like the one chant where we can express ourselves. And so this is, some monks will do a very sing-song way or all the way to the, you know, being way, way over the top. So you might have anything from, you know, the bare bones. We would do paritavana metang sameta baranta avikita chitta paritang banantu. But then you have, sometimes you have like Paritavanamita, you know, like really, really, really sing song. So maybe there's a middle way somewhere in there. So we do that. We do the invitation to the devas. And Lungpa, were you going to read that from the Samyutta Nikaya, or you're just referencing it? Just referencing it. There is a very interesting sutta that Lungpa found in the Samyutta Nikaya, which talks about a certain bhikkhu. He doesn't give his name. He did chanting every day, but then he achieved arhantship, stopped chanting, and the devas were like, okay, what's going on? Why don't you chant anymore? So that's kind of like, probably might have something to do with why we have this inviting the devas, because it's understood that they enjoy hearing Dhamma and they like hearing Dhamma, enjoy hearing the monks chanting Dhamma. Normally we do this particular one first, which is on page 34. It starts with the line Yo cha kuma, and then it goes Mo hamala pakato samang wabuto sugato vimuto. So we do the whole thing like a long string. Because there's a lot of us doing it, sometimes somebody will take a breath, but the others will still keep going. So there's no, it's done in that exact cadence as you learn. There's no deviations from that in all of these chants. And this is just this one is just a Thai, like a compilation. I couldn't find any real reference to that. But it's invoking the qualities of Buddha Dhamma Sangha. The second one we do, Namo Arahato Samma Sambuddha Sammahe Sino. So that's, it's another traditional Thai compilation, and it's like increasing auspiciousness, so it's further paying homage to the things that we just chanted in the first one. Then the third one on page 36 here, because I just did this in order that they've come in the chanting book. Sometimes they're not always in this order. They'll jump around. That's why it's helpful to know these first lines. So I've included first lines of all these chants in here. But in the order of chanting book volume 2, it goes into the Ratana Sutta. And this one begins, Yang kin chi wi dang yi do wa hu rang wa. And this one is overcoming calamities. And just to give an example of what this sutta actually comes from, so I'll read an excerpt from the commentary just to give a flavor of it. And I believe, just like Visuddhimagga, this commentary is attributed to Acharya Buddhaghosa. And I won't even read the whole beginning of the commentary, because some of the commentaries don't even, they go into the history of the regions and where the suttas were given and so on. So like this commentary, it comes about because in the past it is said disasters such as famine arose in Vaisali. In order to quell them, the Lichavis went to Rajagaha, asked the Blessed One to come, and brought him to Vaisali. When he arrived, the Blessed One spoke this discourse in order to quell those disasters. That is a concise account, but the ancients have explained its origin in detail, starting from the story of Vaisali. So then he goes in to describe the whole history of the Lichavis in Vaisali, which is very interesting for anybody who wants to know that, given the page number on that sheet. But I'm going to skip over to it goes way into the past, and then it comes back to the present. By the time the Blessed One arose, Vaisali had become large and successful. It had 7,707 royals and a similar number of princes, generals, treasurers, and so forth. As it is said, now on that occasion, Vaisali was successful and prosperous, populous, filled with people, and food was plentiful. It had 7,707 mansions, 7,707 houses with a peaked roof, 7,707 parks, and 7,707 lotus ponds. That's apparently in the Vinaya, that description. Sometime later, a famine struck with drought and crop failure. First the poor people died, and their bodies were cast outside. Then, drawn by the smell of the corpses, evil spirits entered the city. Then still more people died, and because of the decay, a plague broke out. Thus Vaisali was overrun by three perils: famine, evil spirits, and plague. The citizens went to the king and said, "Great king, three kinds of peril have arisen in the city. Such a disaster has never arisen before, even back through seven generations of royalty. This must have occurred now because of some unrighteous deed of yours." So they blame the king for this thing. The king called everybody to an assembly in the meeting hall and said, "Investigate whether there is any unrighteousness on my part." They investigated his entire lineage but did not see anything. Since they did not see any fault on the part of the king, they considered, "How can we quell this peril?" Some citizens suggested inviting the six teachers, saying, "As soon as they enter, it will subside." But others said, "The Buddha, it is said, has arisen in the world. The Blessed One, powerful and mighty, teaches the Dhamma for the benefit of beings. As soon as he enters, all the perils will subside." They were pleased with this and said, "But where is the Blessed One now dwelling? If we send for him, would he come?" But others said, "Buddhas are compassionate. Why shouldn't he come? That Blessed One is now living in Rajagaha, and King Bimbisara serves him. He would never allow him to come." "Then let us convince the king and bring him." They gave abundant presents to two Lichavi princes and sent them, accompanied by a large mass of troops, to King Bimbisara with the mission, "Make our case to Bimbisara and bring the Blessed One." They went there, gave the presents to the king, and informed him of their plight, saying, "Great king, send the Blessed One to our city." The king did not agree, but said, "You yourselves must ask him. They went to the Blessed One, venerated him, and said, "Bhante, in our city three perils have arisen. If the Blessed One comes, we will be saved." The Blessed One directed his attention to the situation and saw, "When the discourse on gems, the Ratana Sutta, is spoken in Vaisali, its protective power will pervade 100,000 kotis of world systems, and at the conclusion of the discourse, 84,000 living beings will make the breakthrough to the Dhamma." Thus he consented. When King Bimbisara heard that the Blessed One had consented, he had an announcement made in the city: "The Blessed One has agreed to go to Vaisali." He approached the Blessed One and asked, "Bhante, have you agreed to go to Vaisali?" "Yes, great king." "Then wait, Bhante, until we prepare the road." Then King Bimbisara had the five yojanas of ground between Rajagaha and the Ganges smoothed out, built a monastery at each yojana along the way, and announced the time for travel to the Blessed One. The Blessed One then set out accompanied by 500 bhikkhus. The king had the five yojanas of road strewn knee-deep with flowers of five colors, erected flags and banners, full jars and plantain trees, and provided two white parasols to be held above the Blessed One and one above each bhikkhu. He himself, along with his own retinue, accompanied the Blessed One for 5 days to the bank of the Ganges, making offerings of flowers, incense, and other items, settling the Blessed One in each monastery along the way, and giving great meal offerings. At the bank of the Ganges, he decorated a boat with all adornments and sent a message to the people of Vaisali: "The Blessed One has come. Prepare the road and let all come forward to receive him." The people of Vaisali decided, "We will double the offerings." And so they smoothed the three yojanas of ground between Vaisali and the Ganges, provided four white parasols for the Blessed One and two for each bhikkhu, and making offerings, they came to the bank of the Ganges and waited there. Bimbisara fastened together two boats, made a pavilion, and adorned it with wreaths of flowers and other items. So anyway, they're sending him off in that way. And then I'll get into the actual discourse. Thus the Blessed One spoke the discourse on gems at the entrance to the city of Vaisali on the very day he arrived there for the purpose of dispelling those disasters. Having learned it, the Venerable Ananda, reciting it for the sake of protection, took water in the Blessed One's bowl and walked around the entire city sprinkling the water. As soon as the elder said, "Whatever," and meaning that's the very first word of the sutta, as soon as Ananda said "whatever," those evil spirits had not already fled, those living off the rubbish heaps along the walls and elsewhere fled through the four gates so that the gates were crammed. Some, unable to find room at the gates, broke through the walls and fled. As soon as the evil spirits had left, the plague afflicting people's bodies subsided. Coming out, they made offerings to Ananda with all sorts of incense, etc. Then Sakka, ruler of the Devas, gets involved, and then 84,000 people make breakthrough to the Dhamma, etc., and the plague is gone. So then, in some of these commentaries, there's really interesting side lessons, and this one certainly has that. So at the very end of it, when the Buddha's getting ready to leave the city, then people are in awe and wonder how he walked all the way there, knee-deep in flowers and so on, and how could that must have been the power and might of a Buddha. And he says, no, that's just because of a small act of generosity. This is because of kama. Don't think it's because of any psychic powers. And the Buddha says, at the end of this, he says, once upon a time, bhikkhus, there was a Brahmin at Takasila named Sankha. He had a son, a young man named Susima, 16 years of age, who one day approached his father, paid homage to him, and stood to one side. His father said to him, "What is it, dear Susima?" He replied, "I wish, father, to go to Varanasi to learn a craft." "In that case, Susima, the Brahmin so-and-so is my friend. Go and study under him." And then he gave him 1,000 kahapanas. The young man took the money, paid homage to his parents, and eventually reached Varanasi. He approached the teacher in a respectful manner, paid homage to him, and announced himself. The teacher received the youth as his friend's son and showed him every hospitality. When he had dispelled his fatigue from the journey, the youth placed the 1,000 kahapanas at the teacher's feet and asked for the opportunity to learn a craft. The teacher consented and taught him. The boy learned quickly and learned much, and whatever he learned, he retained in mind without losing it, as if it were lion oil placed in a golden vessel. After just a few months, he completed the study of the craft that normally takes 12 years to learn. While making a recitation, he saw only the beginning and middle but did not see the end. He then approached the teacher and said to him, "I see only the beginning and the middle of this craft, but I do not see its end." The teacher replied, "I too, dear, am in the same position." "In that case, teacher, who knows the end of this craft? In Isipatana, there are rishis. They may know. Let me approach them and ask. Do as you wish." The boy went to Isipatana, approached some Pacheka Buddhas, and asked them, "Do you know the beginning, middle, and end?" "Yes, friend, we know. Teach me that, too." "In that case, friend, go forth. It isn't possible for a layperson to learn this." "Please, Bhante, let me go forth, or do whatever you wish so that you can teach me the end." They then gave him the going forth, but since they were unable to instruct him in a meditation subject, they taught him the principles of proper conduct, such as how to wear the lower robe and the upper robe. As he trained with them, since he possessed supporting conditions, in no long time he realized Pacheka enlightenment. In all Varanasi he became known as the Pacheka Buddha Susima. He reached the peak of gain and fame and acquired a retinue. However, because in the past he had done kama leading to a short lifespan, before long he attained final nibbana. The other Pacheka Buddhas and the multitude of people cremated the body, took his relics, and built a stupa at the entrance to the city. Then the Brahmin Sankha thought, "My son has been gone a long time and I have not heard any news about him." Wishing to see his son, he left Takasila and eventually reached Varanasi. Seeing a multitude of people who had assembled there, he considered, "Surely someone in this crowd has some news about my son." So he approached and asked, "A young man named Susima has come here. Do you have any news about him?" They replied, "Yes, Brahmin, we know about him. He mastered the three Vedas under a Brahmin in this city, went forth under the Pacheka Buddhas, and having become a Pacheka Buddha, he attained final Nibbana through the Nibbana element without residue remaining. This stupa has been built for him." The Brahmin struck the earth with his hand, wept and lamented, went to the terrace of the Chetia, plucked out the weeds, brought sand in his upper garment and scattered it over the terrace of the Pacheka Buddha's chetia. He sprinkled the ground all around with water from his water pot, made an offering of woodland flowers, set up a banner made from cloth, and tied his own parasol above the stupa. Thereupon he left. Having related this birth story about the past, the Blessed One gave the bhikkhus a Dhamma talk, connecting it with the present thus: "It may be, bhikkhus, that you think he who at that time was the Brahmin Sankha was someone else, but you should not look at the matter in such a way. At that time I was the Brahmin Sankha. I plucked out the weeds on the terrace of the Pacheka Buddha's Susima's chetia. As a consequence of that kama of mine, they removed the stumps and thorns along the 8 yojana journey and made the ground smooth and clean. I scattered sand there. As a consequence, they scattered sand over the 8 yojana journey. I made an offering of woodland flowers. As a consequence, over the 9 yojana journey, including land and water, they made a carpet with various flowers. I moistened the ground with water from my pot. As a consequence, a lotus leaf rain fell on Vaisali. I set up a banner at that chetia and tied a parasol there. As a consequence, banners were set up and row upon row of parasols were raised aloft right up to the Akanita heaven. Thus, bhikkhus, this distinguished offering was not produced for me by my spiritual might as a Buddha, nor by the spiritual might of the Nagas, Devas, and Brahmas. Rather, it was produced by the spiritual power of a slight act of generosity in the past." At the conclusion of the Dhamma talk, he recited this verse: "If, by renouncing a slight happiness, one sees a greater happiness ahead, the wise person should give up the slight happiness, seeing a greater happiness ahead." So that's the end of the commentary to the Ratana Sutta. That's just tiny excerpts from the beginning and end. It's very, very long. And I've probably said enough for the time being. Is there any questions? You get a sense of how powerful these chants are for people in Buddhist cultures who know all of these stories and know what the chanting is actually connected with. So.
Most people grow up with the stories they get told and they hear as they're growing up.
Are these not as effective in English?
I'm sorry?
Are these not as effective in English, or is there something with the rhythm and the energy that goes with it that helps make it what it is?
Like if you actually chant it in English? I would think it's very effective if you know that, what matters is like the devotion and the energy that goes into it. But there is something about the Pali in terms of tapping into an ancient tradition where it's been chanted in that language. But I think it can be more effective in English sometimes in terms of contemplating the meaning of it, but then sometimes it gets like the translation isn't quite hitting the mark, or like it depends on the translation as well. But also memorizing in English, just like memorizing in Pali, I found very helpful for recollecting and being able to tap into these things.
Do you find the chants as resonant for you knowing the stories and behind them, for example, here as in Thailand?
Yeah. Like, in Thailand, sometimes you get 100 monks full of faith. You know, it's much smaller here. So you get if you're at Wat Pa Pong and you have 300 monks doing Paritta chanting, and you can feel the faith in the room just vibrating. But yeah, if you, like for me, knowing the meaning and knowing the commentaries makes it more powerful and makes you able to, like, if you're leading the chanting, you might choose, like, say, 7 different chants, and you can choose different ones based on the occasion. Yeah. Yes?
So in this book, I noticed that most of them are just in Pali and do not have English translations. Is there a location we can go to find the English translations?
Well, like, a number of them. Like, this is why I have the references for this sheet here. But some of them you don't really have a good translation, like the quail's protection. You don't have a good translation of that. You just have to, I mean, there's a very bad translation of it, just very, very rough, probably done by somebody who just had a dictionary with them or something. But a lot of them are directly from the suttas, so you can go to the sutta reference, and some of them, even the whole sutta is around that chant. So like on the back, you have the very last one, the 28 Buddha's protection. That's an actual sutta in the Digha Nikaya, Digha Nikaya 32. And for example, like the Bhojanga Paritta, the seven factors of enlightenment protection, that's done for sickness or for dispelling illness, because in the Samyutta Nikaya, there's three suttas in a row where that's used to dispel illness. One is where the Buddha, Mahakasapa, is ill, and the Buddha reminds him of the seven factors of enlightenment, and then his illness subsides. One of them, the Buddha himself is ill, and has one of the monks chant it for him, and the Buddha recovers. So, very interesting. So that paritta is just like, it's not exact from those suttas, but it's like recollecting those suttas. But it's slightly restructured.
So a related question as it relates to doing bad translations. if one is interested in studying Pali more, not just the chants, but the vocabulary and the grammar, as I see the chants, I start to see some symbols, I start to pick up a little bit of vocabulary, but then with all the inflection and everything, wondering how that pieces together, and it would be more informative for me when I start picking up those things to see it from chant to chant. So is there any like online source or any really good books to recommend for a study of Pali per se?
Yeah, Suhajo is more of a Paliwala than I am. I've done 3 months of Pali study at one time, but
sure. A new course in reading Pali, both because of it's kind of intermediate, but one thing it does do is that everything in it is excerpts from suttas, and also some of the chanting that we do. Actually, the book starts with analyzing Bhutan Saranam Gacchami. So, there's probably three or four quite good books that I could recommend, but maybe you can speak afterwards or something on specifics.
Did you want to? Yes, Tim.
There's a couple books that have some of these in English. One of them is called The Book of Protection.
That's the one with the really bad translation. Yeah.
There's a lot of other...
But it does give you the basic meaning.
Well, in some of the... I mean, there's a lot of paritas in that book, and they're not all bad. Translated by Payadasa Thera. I don't know who that is. And then there's one other book in English. Hold on. Of course, it never cooperates when you're trying to do something.
But I want to put in a plug for reading these commentaries, because for me it makes the Buddha, well, it does make it a lot more human. There is a lot of miraculous things that happen, but also there's kind of some interesting humor and stuff where like he leads up to something, but then he says, well, things don't actually work like that, you know. it's really like in the Metta Sutta, where the Buddha gives the Metta Sutta to bhikkhus who are wanting to spin the vasa somewhere, and they're assailed by spirits, and he says, go back and chant this protection, you'll be okay. But in the commentary for that, it says, or maybe it's the commentary for the Mangala Sutta, one of those, but then he goes into, well, there's four different types of discourses. that can be given. And one is when a question is asked. So a Buddha will discourse when a question is asked. Sometimes he'll discourse unasked. So there's asking discourses, there's unasked discourses, comprehensible discourses, and there's incomprehensible discourses. And so then I thought, huh, that's kind of a strange list. And then he says, well, you know, when the Buddha's asked a question, he gives a discourse. Sometimes it's unasked, he gives an example. Comprehensible discourse, he gives an example. And then he says, well, Buddha's never giving comprehensible discourses, so he doesn't talk about that one.
The other one is called the Pretty Chance for Special Blessing. And it's Sri Lankan.
Oh. Actually, that's true. On Access to Insight, you might find some good translations of some of these that are, you might just search for them, like the Quail's Protection. Like, actually, Piyadasi's translation might be better than the book I was thinking of. Actually, I think the book is actually different than one I was thinking of. Piyadasi's are actually fairly okay, it seems. There's another one here, the Khandaparita for snakes. These things are, they kind of seem strange. They do seem to work. If you encounter a snake on the trail here, if a monk encounters a snake, just usually our knee-jerk reaction will be to start chanting this particular one. Mm-hmm. And I remember being with a monk in Pujamgam, and he had a problem with a viper, which would sit outside the entrance to his kuti, so he was scared to go into his kuti, so he came and got me, and it was late at night. And I said, did you try chanting that chant for it? And he said, no, those don't work. Those chants don't work. He said, I said, well, did you try? He said, no, because I already know it doesn't work. And so I went with him, and then the snake was there. And so it was just a viper coiled up in front of his kuti, and so I just, okay, viru pake hime me tang, and then it started like jiggling back and forth, and it was, and he's like, it's just a coincidence. And then it went away, and okay, well, you can go back to your kuti. That's just the first thing I'll just try, just because I've been a monk for long enough that it just seems to work. I don't know why. Is there anything else we're supposed to do today? Oh, yeah.
I was just wondering about the pitches for the Purita chanting. Is there any rule of thumb, or just listen to when they happen?
It's usually three as well, but it kind of depends on the group you're with. So like, you know, the first prayer to chant, Yo Chakuma, it's like, Yo Chakuma mo hamala pakato samang wabuto sugato vimuto mara sapasa venimo chai. It's just, Tante sike mo.
When you start chanting, you forgot the top hand. The
lower tongue is a hassle, mm-hmm. And sometimes that holds, and sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes that, but it's mostly just. Yeah. It's like Bhutang Warantang Sirasa Namami. Like, but that sa comes from the Thai, because S in Thai naturally goes up. Mm-hmm. So it's like a strange carryover that we don't, if you've never studied Thai or whatever, you don't realize that's kind of where it comes from. And even in Thai, it actually goes, it's like Sirasa Namami, like that. So that's built into Thai language. But then it has become a high tone for us.
since you were reading from the commentary and I was talking about the Chitta Buddhas, it's always bothered me about the verses of sharing and aspiration. It makes a reference to the Chitta Buddha. And the, you know, in Nepali it's Pacheka Buddha, and in English it's the solitary Buddha is my noble guide.
Yeah.
So, can you explain what's going on there?
I don't have any good explanation for that. But that isn't a sutta though. That's a Thai compilation. That sharing of merit, is it the fourth king? It's Sri Lankan as well. Oh, okay. Okay, but it's not from a sutta though. Some sort of, it's like a traditional compilation.
It's like setting an aspiration, dedicating blessings, sharing blessings, dedicating merit. And I think the, one of the things that one does as a, say, devotional act, cover all your bases.
Yeah, there's that, because Pacheka Buddhas play a big part in the suttas. My thought too is different, like the word Pacheka, just like the word Kappa, which means aeon, it has like 20 different meanings based on the context. So it could possibly mean like the Buddha alone is my noble guide, or only the Buddha. It just seems possible that's a possible interpretation as well. Or both. Both or neither. So. But he did talk about Pacheka Buddhas in the commentary a little bit, in that because they're Pacheka Buddhas, they couldn't give him a meditation subject, which is seems to be some quality. They don't have a dispensation, but they still give him the going forth, and they still seem to, they have goodwill for people and they want to help people, but they don't like formulate a teaching, it seems. That seems to be a quality of Pacheka Buddhas. Page 44, book 2.
These are the I mentioned it earlier, and it was this Itipu So chant is a this goes right back to the suttas and early days of the Buddhism and the recollection of the qualities. I like this Buddha Dhamma Sangha Guna. Guna is a quality, a wholesome quality. And so that the there's nine particular qualities of the Buddha, and so the blessed one is thus Itipiso Bhagava Arlahang. So he's a purified being, Samma Sambuddho, perfectly enlightened by himself, Vichajarna Sampanno, perfect in knowledge and conduct, Sugato, well gone, Loka Vido, knower of the worlds, Anuttaro Purisa Dhamma Sarlati. This is a foremost trainer of those to be trained. Satadeva Manusanang, teacher of gods and humans. Buddho, awaken, Bhagava, blessed, and bringing blessings, one steeped in blessings. So these are nine qualities. Whenever one recollects the Buddha, those are the nine primary qualities, and similarly, the so on. They say the Dhamma of the Blessed One is well taught, and so that they, again, and in our morning and evening chanting, then there oftentimes we'll do the English of this, but as a a Pali chant, these are the qualities that of Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha that are most salient, most important. And so this is a chant that's been utilized and relied on for a millennia. And this is the one that I told about, the elephant, the protection from the elephant, or protection from anything. So this is the handy dandy all purpose chant for everything. And this is also the chant that I was saying, where there oftentimes people will gather and they'll do 108 chantings of it. And but I thought maybe we could chant it together. And oftentimes what we've done when we've done circumambulations here in Abhayagiri, then we've done the first time going around, we keep chanting over and over the Dipiso Bhagavata, recollection of the Buddha. Second time of going around the circumambulation, chanting the qualities of the Dhamma. Third time, chanting the qualities of the Sangha, so that it's used in different ways. Maybe what we could do is do this chant together. Chant it 9 times. Yeah, why not? And then just chant it together, and then we can sit meditation after that. Use it as a preparation for bringing energy, brightening the mind, recollecting, and then we can sit meditation to close out the afternoon. We're coming to the end of the Upasika day. Etipiso bhagavarlahaṃ sammā sambuddho vicācarana sambanno sugato lokavidu anuttaro purisadhammasāratisattha devamanusānaṃ buddho bhagavati savakato bhagavata Dhammo sande niko akaliko hehi pasiko ho panayiko vachatang veditambo vinyo hirti supatipanno bhagavato savaka sango huchupatipanno bhagavato Vakasango nyaya patipanno Bhagavato savakasango sami chipatipanno Bhagavato savakasango yadidang jana Ripulisa yugani yata pulisa pogala Hesa Bhagavato savakasango Pahunayo pahunayo and Vinayo jali Anutarlang bunya ketang lo kasati tipiso bhagavara Dhamma sambuddho vichacarana sambanno Sugato lokavidu anuttaro purisa dhammasarati satta deva manusa Namo do Bhagavati Savakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sannitiko Vaka Niko Ehi Pasiko Ho Vanayiko Pachatang Veditambo Vinyu Hirti Supatipanno Bhagavato Sa Vaka Sangho Hucho Patipanno Bhagavato Sa Vaka Sangho Nyaya Patipanno Bhagavato Sa Vaka Sangho Samichi Patipanno Getang lokasati tipiso bhagava lahang samma dhammo tomi cha jalana samma no sukato lo gavidhu anutarlo polisa dhamma salati satade vamanu sanang buddho bhagavati sava Kato Bhagavata Dhammo Sannittiko Akaliko Nipasiko Panayiko Pachatang Ve Nittambo Inyo Hirti Supatipanno Bhagavato Sa Vakasangho Chupatipanno Bhagavato Sa Vakasangho Sangho Nyaya Patipanno Bhagavato Sa Vakasangho Samichi Patipanno Bhagavato Sa Vakasangho Yadidhang Yanhari Purisa Yukaniya Na Purisa Pogalahe Sa Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Ahunayo Pahunayo Dakinayo Anjali Karatiyo Anutala Bunyaketa No kasati itipiso bhagavaharahang samma Vichha jarana sammano sukato Anutarlo polisa dhamma salati sata deva manu sanang buddho bhagavati savakato bhagavata dhammo sanni liko akaliko ehipasiko panayiko pachatang veditambo vinyu Hirti supatipanno bhagavato savaka sangho Chupatipanno bhagavato savaka sangho Nyaya patipanno bhagavato savaka sangho Mirchi patipanno bhagavato savaka sangho Yadidang yanna Vripolisa yukhani yata polisa pogala Esa bhagavato savaka sangho Hunayo pahunayo nhakinayo anjali Garatniyo anutarlang munya Ketang loka sa ti ti piso bhagava arahang samma sambhuto vicha yarana samhano sukato loka vidu anutarlo morisa dhamma salati sata deva manusanang mundo bhagavati sava Bhagavato Bhagavata Dhammo Sannittiko Akaliko Ehipasiko Hopanayiko Pacha Nangvedittambo Inyohirti Supatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Huchupatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Nyaya Patipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Samichi Patipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Yadidang Janhari Purisa Yukaniya Napurisa Pogalahe Sabhagavato Savaka Sangho Ahunayo Pahunayo Anda Inayo Anjali Karaniyo Anutalang Bunya Ngetang Loka Sati Yati Piso Bhagavahara Bhutto vichha charana sambhanno sukato lo gavidu anutarlo polisa dhamma sarlati sata deva manusanang bhutto bhagavati savakato bhagavata dhammo sannitiko akaliko nipa Asiko ho panayiko pachatangwe Nitambho vinyo hirti supatipanno Bhagavato Savaka sangho huchupatipanno Bhagavato Savaka sangho nyaya patipanno Bhagavato Savaka sangho samichi patipanno Panno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Adidang Janhari Purisa Yuka Niyata Purisa Pogalahe Sabhagavato Savaka Sangho Ahunayo Pahunayo Anda Ginayo Anjali Karaniyo Anutarlang Bunya Ketang Loka Sati Yati Piso Bhagava Arahang Samma Sambhuto Vicha Yarana Samhano Sukato Loka Vidu Anutarlo Purisata Nasarati Sa Deva manusanang bhuddho bhagavati savakato bhagavata dhammo sannittiko akaliko ehipasiko panayiko pachatang vedittambho vinyohi nisupatipanno bhagavato savaka Sangho Huchupatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Nyaya Patipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Samichi Patipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Yadidang Janhari Purisa Yuka Pogalahe Sabhagavato Savaka Sangho Ahunayo pahunayo andakinayo anjali karaniyo anu narang munya ketang lokasati yatipiso bhagava harlahang sama sammuto vichacharana sambhano sukato lokavidu anu tarlo polisa dhamma salati sata neva manu sanang bhuto bhagavati savakato bhagavata dhammo sande nikho akaliko ehi pasiko opanayiko pachatang vaiditammo inyo hiyate supati panno bhagavato savaka sangho uchupati panno bhagavato savaka sangho nya yapati panno bhagavato savaka sangho swami tripati panno bhagavato savaka sangho yadida yatali poli sayoka niyata poli sapogala esa bhagavato savaka sangho hunayo pahunayo dakinayo anjali karaniyo anutarang munya Getang lokasati yatipiso bhagava arahang sammā sambhuto vichā jarana sambhano sukato lokavidu anu daro polisa dhamma sarati sata deva manu sanang bhuto bhagavati savā Kato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanhetiko Akaliko Ehipasiko Hopanayiko Pachata Veditammo Inyo Hirti Supatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Uchupatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Nyaya Patipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Samichi Patipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Yadidang Janna Niyata polisa pogala hesa bhagavato sa vakasangho ahunayo pahunayo Yo anjali karaniyo anutarang munya ketang lokasati Okay, we can just sit quietly.
May darkness and illusion be